You'd think that as a video game podcaster and comedian, my life is all fun and games. And honestly, you'd be right. About 90% of the time, it's pretty sweet. But every morning, I deal with something very, very serious. My face. You don't become an Edmonton Six overnight. It takes work. And in my case, it takes good facial hair. And fortunately, I have a great facial hair tag team partner in Harry's. Hit up harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set and see what I'm talking about. Harry saw the tire fire that the shaving market had become and asked, how did it get like this? Crappy plastic razors, overpriced blades, all locked up like gold bars. And they said, no, we can fix this. And damn it, they did. Harry's ships premium quality razors right to your door. About once a month, I check my mail and there's that little box with everything I need to keep my kid presentable status. The blades stay sharp longer, which means an easier time getting my face in order in the morning. And the razors don't look like a dumb piece of plastic that a junior high schooler uses to take care of their peach fuzz. You have the facial hair of a man now. Shave like one. I actually leave my razor handle on the bathroom counter all the time just because it looks so damn classy. Harry's blades are German engineered and they're made to last. They're the best blades on the market for the best price, and you don't even have to go out to get them. Set your delivery schedule and shave like a king. I know it sounds sarcastic, but I'm being serious. I've used Harry's forever. These blades are really freaking good. Highest reviews in the industry, a money back guarantee that you're not going to need, and a subscription that you can cancel anytime you want. Getting ripped off isn't funny. Switch to Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/RTG. That's harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Remember the Game. It is my retro gaming podcast where every week a buddy of mine and I sit down and we geek out about the games we played back in the day. My name is Adam Blank. Thank you so much for listening to the show. This week for episode 95, we are talking Mario & Luigi Superstar Saga for the Game Boy Advance. Admittedly, there is not a lot of love for the Game Boy Advance here on the show. Certainly not because it's a subpar console, but I just didn't play much GBA. I mentioned that a little bit last week. It came out and it was big during my kind of bar hopping days, and I just missed a lot of stuff. So if you've got a Game Boy Advance game you would suggest that I can pick up off the internet somewhere for preferably a reasonable price, please shoot it my way and I'll maybe look at it, because I've got a Game Boy Advance sitting here and I don't have any games to play on it, so I'm interested. But I know I played Mario & Luigi Superstar Saga back in the day, and I'm pretty excited to get into it. My guest this week returning to the show is Bradley McHugh of the Movie Epidemic podcast fame, and we had a good time talking Mario and Luigi. We're going to get into that in a few minutes. Before I do, you guys know I have to do my little self-indulgent gaming-related rambling section. If you're not interested, you can skip it. But I don't know if anyone even does that anymore, but please don't. If you think it's all just Patreon plugs, it isn't. I spend like 90 seconds on the Patreon, and I spend most of that explaining the good stuff you can get, and then I flip over and just talk about the news and things. So just if you've never listened to the intro, make this the week. Don't rush, okay? There's fucking diseases outside. There's apparently giant, oversized, novelty killer hornets out there. Just stay in and listen to the show, or stay in your car and listen to whatever. Just listen to me. Fucking just listen to me, all right? Just listen. Speaking of our Patreon, we broke a record this month for the beginning of May, which, considering that we were shut down for most of April, is pretty fucking phenomenal. So thank you all so much, whether you came back, whether you stuck with the show the whole time, whether you just signed up and came there for the first time, whatever reason you're there, thank you very much. As you know, our patrons get access to a second weekly podcast that goes live every Sunday called Expansion Pass. And this Sunday's episode, I'm just going to be a ranking episode. I think I'm going to do one of those a month and just rank something. Last month, we ranked all the Mario games. This month, I'm going to rank my 10 favorite consoles of all time. And if you think it's going to be all Nintendo, you're not right, but you're not wrong. There is going to be a lot of Nintendo on there, but there's some Xbox. There's some Sony showing up. Will Sega show up? No, I don't want to fuck anyone over. Probably not, but maybe. I haven't actually done the list yet. We'll see. But it should be fun. I'm looking forward to it. So that'll be your live this Sunday. Also, our poll for the month is up because every month I take 6 games that you guys have asked for that I haven't played. I put them in a poll. Our Patreons decide one of the games, whatever game wins, I will play through it and we will cover it the following month on the show. This month's contenders on the poll are Batman for the NES, Double Dragon for the NES, and for the record, I have played Double Dragon, just not very much of it. Streets of Rage 2 for the Genesis, Doom 64 for the Nintendo 64, Medieval, I assume that's how you say it, or is it Medieval? Medieval? I don't know, that weird skeleton-looking guy for the PlayStation, and Super Castlevania 4 for the Super Nintendo. And as of when I record this, Medieval, or I gotta figure out how to say it, is winning. So we'll see if that is the case. If you want to, plus our prize draw, we'll be shooting it tomorrow, which is Wednesday, the day you're listening to this, and the video will be going live on Thursday. And the winner is going to win a video game of their choice. So if you want to get in on the prize draws, listen to Expansion Pass every Sunday, be able to vote in our poll, and receive a shout-out every month, you should sign up. It's only $2, patreon.com/rememberthegame. And with that said, massive shout-out to some of our Patreons, including new Patreon, Adam. Literally, that's all you said. I don't know anything about you, but that is a fucking cool name, so you're all right. Last month's Patreon prize winner, Andre. Shout-out to new subscriber, Andrew Castro, Andrew Halupchuk, Andrew W, though you guys are now officially linked forever as the three Andrews. Massive thank you to Andy Baker, Aiden, welcome back, dude, appreciate it. Ben Drinkin, longtime supporter. Ben Bullu, who I still can't say your fucking name. Charlie M, Chris Fleury, and Christopher Sumner, the two Chrises. Hey, thank you to Corey, Daniel Brooks, and last but not least, Dave. And if you just signed up for the show and didn't get a shout out there, I'm just going to go through a section of them every month or every week now. You will get your shout out in this month, I promise. Okay. Thank you guys all so much. That's all the Patreon plugs, I promise. Thanks. Just consider it if you can. It's the only money I make off the show, and I would really, really appreciate it. Also, thank you guys so much for the solid feedback regarding Sunday's episode of Expansion Pass. If you missed it, I looked at the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series X, the ups and downs, what they need to do to win, how they could lose next gen, made some predictions. Sounds like news is going to be coming out about them later this month, and it's one of those circumstances in the next like 48 hours. As far as we'll get into that a little bit more in the news. So that was a lot of fun, and thank you for the people that said they enjoyed that. A few of you reached out and just verified what I said on that show, which is the fact that Sony's biggest advantage going into the PS5, Xbox Series X console war is just brand loyalty. It's Sony's biggest plus, and it's probably the biggest hurdle Microsoft has to get over if they're going to compete. Because there are a lot of people that have had a PS, maybe even they started with the PlayStation 3 when the PSN was really big, but the PlayStation 3 to the PlayStation 4, they'll probably get a PlayStation 5. They carry over their name with all their friends, with all their trophies. And it's just they've got an incredibly loyal and incredibly established consumer base, and it's going to be very difficult to chip away at that if you're anybody other than Sony. And I mentioned that on the show, and a lot of you reached out saying that was the case. You're going to buy a PS5 just because of that. So thank you for confirming it. But I get it. I fucking totally get it. And just quickly, before I get into the news, speaking of brand loyalty, and I've ranted about it on here before, but all of you stupid fucking fanboys on Reddit and social media are that shit on people for using a system. If you're an Xbox user and you shit on PlayStation users, or PlayStation users shit on Xbox users, everybody shits on Switch users, fucking PC Master Race even, whatever, it doesn't matter, you're a fucking idiot, okay? I wish school was back. So that all of you little turds weren't online all day. You were back at home, or you were in school fucking learning. All right? And here's the thing. Listen, I got thinking about it. If Reddit had existed during the Super Nintendo Genesis Wars of the 90s, I probably would have been one of them. I would have been that little shit on the computer. Ah, well, you use the Sega Genesis, which means your mom is probably fat and she's, you know, well, we didn't say the fucking rude shit kids say today.
That's like kids today. They're saying shit's me. Or I'm like, what did you just insult me? I don't even know what the fuck you just said. So I kind of get it because I would have been like that when I was a kid too. But listen, as you grow up, you're going to understand that it just makes you look like a fucking idiot. Just play games on whatever the fuck you want to play games on. Like, we're all in this together. It doesn't matter if you're a PlayStation 4 user, an Xbox user, a Switch user, reluctantly a PC Master Racer, you can come, but you got to sit at the back of the bus. Like, we're all just gamers trying to game, right? As long as you're not playing on a Sega console, you're fine. It's half joking, you know? So just, I don't know. I posted a picture on Instagram today of a private message I got from a guy who was on the Xbox forum shitting on Game Pass. And I just said, I don't know, dude. I think Game Pass is pretty rad. And he just came at me, and you can see it over there. Instagram is at member of the game. We'll follow you back. You just fucking stupid kids. Stupid fucking kids. Anyway, let's get into the news. There's not very much to talk about. Let's get into the news. I don't think it is possible to talk gaming news at the end of April, early May of 2020 and not talk about Last of Us 2 again. Because as you all probably know, The Last of Us 2 has been leaked, and then Sony they originally delayed the release. Now they had to bump the release back up. It's coming out in June, but all the main spoilers are out there, all the story and everything like that. And originally people were saying it was an ex-employee that was disgruntled with the working conditions that leaked it. But now it is coming out that it was not an ex-employee. More and more people are saying that it was just, they're like some hackers that are actually fans of Naughty Dog and Last of Us and what they do. And they were just digging around, and I don't know where the fuck you dig around to find this stuff. I don't know how to hack. But anyway, they found this information apparently, and somebody, one of them leaked it, or somebody there fucking, some douche, basically it was some douchebag, leaked it. And like I said last week, if you're one of these people going around posting spoilers on Twitter or Patreon or Reddit or anywhere, and you're like, listen, if you want to discuss them in private forums where people can't accidentally read the spoilers, then I don't care. Spoil whatever you want to spoil. But to just go out there and put it out in the general public for people like me and probably most of the listeners of this, on behalf of all of us, go fist yourself. Fist yourself, okay? It's just, I don't get it. I don't get why you want to spoil stuff like movies, TV shows, video games. Like, the internet is there to promote all of them, but it's also there to spoil all of them. They all have spoilers. They all do. And that fucking sucks, right? Like, as a Last of Us 2, like, as someone that's excited about Last of Us 2 and as a Last of Us fan, I should be able to go online, search that title, find boards and find groups of people that are excited about the game and go in there and not worry about some fucking loser who has nothing better to do other than to ruin a game that I have waited like 6 years to play. It's fucking obnoxious, right? You should be able to, it doesn't matter what you're excited about, the new Star Wars movie or fucking Ozark or Last of Us 2 or whatever, you should be able to go online, get caught up in the hype of it, and talk with people that are excited about it too without the fear of it being ruined. And you can't, because there's too many assholes out there. I don't get it. I don't get why you'd want to spoil stuff for people. I do not understand. Anyway, it's been bugging me for like a week and a half since I accidentally saw some of those spoilers, which I'll never reveal on here. Don't worry about that. But anyway, I still can't wait. I cannot fucking wait for Last of Us 2. Like, I get a little flustered just thinking about how I can't wait to get my hands on that game. And it's like a month and a half away, June 19th. Anyway, so that's Last of Us 2 news. Also in gaming news, Xbox is holding monthly events. Microsoft, Xbox, whatever. They're holding monthly events beginning this week on May 7th, which is tomorrow, if you're listening to this episode the day it goes live. And it looks like they're calling them Xbox 2020. And it's not the year, well, it is kind of like a play on the year 2020, but it's 20/20, like 2020 vision. I love that. I think that's rad. And they're going to be doing them one a month. It sounds like they're doing monthly, for the rest of the year. And they're going to reveal information about the Series X, launch titles, the features of the system, just the hardware, pricing, hopefully. I think that's great. I think that little monthly installments, I think, as opposed to like doing a big like puke all over the stage at E3, to just do it monthly, little teases all the way up to the release might be a great way to keep people interested and excited. And I'm excited about it. And I think that's a great idea. And it doesn't sound like they're delaying it. You know, I talked about it on Sunday. Everyone else has been talking about it. I think we're all still wondering, like, are they really going to drop these new super expensive, high-powered video game consoles while the world is collectively broke? And yeah, it fucking sounds like they are. I can't imagine they're going to be doing all these monthly things for May, June, July, August, and then in September or October, they pull the plug and say, we're going to wait till next year. I just, to me, it looks like it's full steam ahead. And the thing is, you guys, Sony is still sitting on their hands. It's really interesting to me, and I'm sure COVID is causing a lot of problems for development and marketing and everything they wanted to do. But the longer Sony waits to give us info about the PS5, the bigger punch they've got to land when they finally take a swing. Like, it is really fascinating to me. And I wonder if part of Microsoft is thinking maybe we should delay because the economy isn't good. And part of them thinks that Sony's been caught flat-footed and they're in a little bit of trouble right now. Let's take our shot. And again, and I mentioned this on the Sunday's podcast, I'm not cheering against either one. I want both systems to do well. I'll probably buy both systems. I want both companies to do well. The better they do, the better both of them are doing, the more they're going to push each other to give us stuff, which is what we want as consumers. So I'm not cheering against Sony. It's just hard to go to bat for them when they haven't fucking said, they haven't even shown up to the game. They're not saying anything. I'm really excited about these Microsoft presentations. I'm looking forward to that on Thursday. I love console launches, man. I just love the news. I can't wait. And that's about it. I don't see any other news jumping off the page of me here. So I'm going to just get into what have I been playing, and then we're going to talk Mario and Luigi. So what have I been playing over the last 7 days, you might ask yourself. I'm sure a lot of you stay up at night thinking, what are Adam's playing right now? Probably KOTOR. If you have thought that at any point in the last 7 days, that is probably what I've been playing. Star Wars, Knights of the Old Republic on the original Xbox. I'm playing it emulated on my Xbox One because it won last month's Patreon poll. I think I'm getting pretty close to the end of it. Everyone kept mentioning that there's like a big twist in the story. And unless there's an even bigger twist waiting for me, then I'm past there now. Pretty rad, man. I'm really having fun with it. I'm new to Star Wars altogether, and I'm really having fun with it. Like, now I want to go play more Star Wars games. I was messaging on Twitter with Thomas about it. And I was like, dude, I want to play more Star Wars now. So I've been playing that. I've also been playing Halo 3. As you know, I'm slowly climbing my way through all the Halo campaigns. I basically just hop into Halo when I need a break from KOTOR. I'm not playing it religiously, but I'm having fun with it. I think I like Halo 2 better, but I'm having fun with Halo 3. I'm still playing a lot of Picross on my Switch, the little puzzle game. I played in the evenings while I watched TV with my girlfriend. We've been watching The Office. And The Office is one of those shows now that I can just hear in the background while I'm playing, you know, so that's been nice and relaxing. And then I still play Slay the Spire pretty well every night whenever I want to go sit on my deck, because everyone should be playing Slay the Spire because it is the fucking best game ever. And that is it. That's what I've been playing. That's the news. That's the Patreon plugs. That's the rumors. That's my ranting about shitty people on Reddit. That's everything. Let's talk Mario and Luigi. Episode 95, Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga for the Game Boy Advance. Like I mentioned off the top, we have not shown the Game Boy Advance much love. And I regret that, but I just haven't played a lot of the games. I got to play more. I'm glad we were able to give this one game because this is easily my favorite game on the Game Boy Advance of the ones I did play. Which, like, if you're curious, like, I remember playing Mario Tennis. I played a lot of the old school games. I don't know if you remember or not, but, like, before virtual consoles, they were re-releasing, like, Mario Brothers and stuff like that, and I bought a bunch of those up. Zelda, Metroid, I think I had. And then I remember playing this game, Superstar Saga, just over and over. I fucking love this game, and even though I haven't played it in, like, 15 years, I still have really fond memories of it, which is, to me, is, like, the highest praise you can give a game or a movie or a book or something. You're like, I haven't dealt with it or watched it or read it or whatever in years and years, but I know I love it, right? Because it just left that great impression on you. And so with that said, I am going to cue some music. My buddy Bradley McHugh is on the phone with me this week, and we are talking Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga for the Game Boy Advance, which originally released in North America on November 17th, 2003. Kick back, relax, wash your hands, look out for big hornets, and let's talk Mario and Luigi, guys. Here we go. If you're hearing this, you're probably a gamer. And for our kind, nothing is as precious and valuable as our save files. Have you ever experienced the loss of a save file? It's soul-crushing. Dozens, maybe hundreds of hours of work, gone, like that. But at the end of the day, it's a video game. It matters, but kinda, you know? That exact scenario, but with a work project, an essay for school, data for your business, that's no joke. That can be really serious. You need a safety net. And I got you, fam, with my partners over at CrashPlan. Visit CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. CrashPlan has been protecting people's data since 2001. And a couple years ago, they set out on their own with one mission, to provide the
best damn cloud backup solution on the market. CrashPlan runs quietly in the background of your computer or Mac, and every 15 minutes on the clock, they create a new backup of every file that's changed in that time. So if something goes wrong, God forbid, you don't lose hours, lose days, lose weeks of work. Just log into your account and you can download your most recent backup from the secure cloud servers. And there's not just one backup. There's a laundry list of them. You can pick and choose which one you want. It's like the ultimate undo button. If you work on a computer in any capacity, CrashPlan is a must-have. And if you're thinking, ah, that's for big businesses, I'm just Joe Schmo. CrashPlan protects Joe Schmo. They offer a ton of plans and tiers. So there's a CrashPlan for everyone from small one-person businesses like me to you fancy businesses and offices with staff and free donuts and all that stuff. Time is money. Why wouldn't you protect your work? Spreadsheets, diagrams, videos, art, podcasts. CrashPlan has you covered. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan.
So yeah, so joining me via telephone device all the way from the great metropolis of Calgary is my pal and Movie Epidemic podcast co-host, Bradley McHugh. How's it going, pal?
Oh, it's going really well, actually. I've had a lot of time lately to play video games, yeah. And one of the very long games that I got to play is the one that we're talking about today.
Yeah, so this one, like, I don't even remember you must have suggested it. I remember when we were looking at the game list, you must have been like, yeah, let's do Mario, because you had never played it, right? And then you got, is it Wii U? You played it on the Wii U?
I actually did not play it on the Wii U. I played it on the Game Boy Player, because I have the original cartridge and Game Boy Player on the GameCube, which is actually a bit of an interesting thing. My Game Boy Player is really old.
Okay.
And so when I first started playing the game, every 10 minutes, the Game Boy Player would crash. And I was like, oh no, like I don't want to have to sit on my Game Boy Advance SP and play this. I want to be able to play it on my TV. And then eventually it just stopped doing it. So I was like, whew, thank God.
Oh, that's fun. That's weird. I had one of those on my GameCube too. I fucking love the Game Boy Player.
Yeah, and I never had a problem with my Game Boy Player until this game came along. I also found out some really interesting things about about Mario and Luigi and actually its compatibility with the Game Boy Player. Have you ever played like a Game Boy Advance game and after it says Game Boy, it also says Game Boy Player for some reason?
Yes, I did. Yes.
I found out the reason for that is because if you play a game that says Game Boy Player on it, on the Game Boy Player on the GameCube, it actually, knows when to use the rumble feature.
Which
of course, like, it wouldn't have on the Game Boy Advance, but, like, when I'm playing Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga and something happens, like, I get hit, like, my controller rumbles, and I was like, that's a really kind of neat touch. It adds almost nothing, but it's a neat touch.
Yeah, it is. Dude, I was talking about it on one of the podcasts a couple weeks ago, because, like, everyone talks about the Switch and how phenomenal Nintendo has done with the Switch, and how it's portable, and it's also TV and everything, but, like, they've been trying to combining TV with handhelds all the way back to, like, the Super Nintendo with the Super Game Boy. But the Game Boy Player, I thought, was just, like, to the whole nother level. Like, once I got a Game Boy Player, I hardly ever turned on my Game Boy Advance. I would just prefer to play, because not like the old Game Boy games didn't look that good on the big TV, even through the Super Game Boy. Whereas the Game Boy Advance games, most of them look fine on a big TV through the Game Boy Player.
Yeah, yeah. We'll talk about that a little bit more. But, man, Game Boy Advance, like, the visuals on Game Boy Advance are so special. You know, like, they're so colorful in like a way that I can't even imagine us being able to achieve in handheld at that time.
Yeah,
like the Game Boy Advance was amazing for its time, like really incredible.
Yeah, it was really. I feel bad because that's probably It is my least played Nintendo console ever, because I just was kind of getting away from it at that time.
Yeah, I would say it's probably up there for me. There are a few Game Boy Advance games that I hold extremely dear to my heart. Zelda Minish Cap is like one of my favorite games of all time. Metroid Fusion, I also really, really love. The Fire Emblem games.
Yeah.
And now Mario and Luigi.
That's smooth.
Yeah, because that. Yeah, I saw this on your list, and I was like, shit, like I've straight up never beat that game, but I had it,
right.
You know, and I must have played it as a kid. This is a funny story. When I booted up the game, I was like, okay, let's take a look at my file from when I was a kid, because I don't really remember playing it. I mustn't have played that much. But apparently, I played this fucking thing for 72 hours when I was a kid.
Wow.
I had a 72-hour, and the thing is that my level on my 72-hour file was lower than what I ended on with my new file.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I mean, listen, I have very few bad things to say about this game, but I don't think this is a 72-hour game.
So, oh, it sure ain't.
So I was like, what the fuck were you doing? But you know what? That might have been setting it down and walking away and setting it down and walking away.
Yeah, like, that's what I must have. But it was Game Boy Advance, right? Like, when I was a kid, I wasn't dumb enough to do that and just kill my batteries, you know? Like, I don't know.
Hmm.
But, anyway, let's talk about the game.
Yeah, okay. That's a crazy idea. So this game, like, here's the crazy thing about this game. Because, like, you said, like, you literally played this game in the last, like, 96 hours you played through this game. It's probably been 15 years since I played through this game. But, like, to me, you know what one of the calling signs of a really good game is a game that, like, you play once and you haven't played for a decade and a half, and in your head you're like, I still really like this game. Do you know what I mean? Like, one of those games that just sticks with you and you're like, no, I remember really liking that. And that was this game. I, like, because I'm a Super Mario RPG, like, diehard fan. Diehard. And I know you like Super Mario RPG. I know you're a Paper Mario guy.
Big Paper Mario guy.
Yeah.
I love Paper Mario.
This is, like, as close as there is. I mean, obviously not the Paper Mario, like, art style, but this is the continuation of Super Mario RPG as far as, like, Mario RPGs go. Like, and I feel like maybe a little bit less of a, I don't want to call it a gimmick, even though it kind of is, a little bit less reliance on the paper mechanic and more of that, you know, the real-time strategy, the hitting buttons to do extra damage or to do less damage and stuff like that, which I fucking adore in RPG. I wish more RPGs did stuff like that. Because
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, now it's not just mashing A, right? Like,
well, and, like, it just feels like Nintendo's kind of got it, you know? Like, as crazy as it sounds, but, like, with Super Mario RPG, like, introducing that real-time mechanic that you have to do in turn-based combat was genius.
Yeah.
And then they're like, okay, how do we improve on this through Paper Mario? We're making every because, like, in the Super Nintendo game, it's mostly just, like, you press A at the right time every time.
Yeah.
And there's not much more to that. Within Paper Mario, it's like you hold the hammer back, and then you have to hit it a certain time, and then you can, if you hit A a certain amount of times, you can do, like, fancy moves. And then with this one, they really upped the ante here, because one thing that I kept thinking about when I was playing this game is that even though I was playing with the GameCube controller, you have to remember B and A are the only buttons they had.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all they had to work with, and you had to control both of these characters. So having each button control each character and you'd be able to switch through their abilities using the L and R button was genius.
That's,
like,
right.
And
yeah. Yeah, because B was Luigi and A was Mario, right?
B was Luigi, A is Mario, and you can switch the two. You can switch it so that Luigi's in the front, so then now he's A and Mario's in the back. It's whichever brother is in back is B, but in combat it's always A, Mario, B, Luigi.
That's so smart.
But then you use the L and R to switch between, like, jumping, hammer, fireball, and there's something called, like, the bros move or something like that, where Mario would get on top of Luigi and then they would spin across like a crevasse, or Luigi would jump off Mario's head to get to higher places. It's really neat, and it calls for a lot of, like, puzzle solving, because most of this game is puzzle solving.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Like, I mean, I enjoy that they put those little things into the combat, because like one of my biggest problems with any kind of JRPG is I get like, it doesn't matter how good the game is, by the end of the game, I'm rolling my eyes every time I get in a battle. Like, it's just mashing A. Whereas these games, at least they keep me kind of invested in the battle, because I'm trying to do the special moves and stuff like that. But like you said, the puzzles, because like the BA stuff doesn't just work in battles, but it works in like the overworld as well, right?
Absolutely, it does. Yeah, and you can use like your fireball to like hit Luigi in the ass, and it causes them to run really fast.
Ah, that's so like, fuck, they're just so clever. You know what I mean? Like, and yeah. I looked it up. I have the Wikipedia page right in front of me, because I was like, I know that sometimes on some of these weird spin-off games like Link's Awakening, like, it's not always Shigeru Miyamoto and the Nintendo, like the diehard, you know, like the superpowers over there in charge of these. But no, one of the producers of this was Shigeru. And I'm just like, fuck, it's got that charm, man. It just has that Nintendo shine to it. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, it's a very polished game. That being said, I want to talk about all the things that I really like about the game and get that out of the way, so I can talk about the shit I don't like.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because this game, it does have that. Okay, so first of all, the story in this game is pretty good. I wouldn't say it's as good as like Paper Mario or Mario RPG, but it's pretty good.
Yeah, considering they could have just made it Bowser kidnaps Peach and you have to go rescue Peach from Bowser. Like, they could have done that, and nobody would have complained. But instead, they created like a whole nother world with new bad guys and all that kind of stuff. And I'm sure you remember it better than me, but it's something along the lines of Peach lost her voice or something, right?
Yeah. So Cacletta, is like the main villain in this game. And she's like this evil witch type character with this silly little sidekick named Bawful, who I love. Mm-hmm. That's like, what an awesome character. He's like this shitty little Igor mad scientist. He's like a World War II Nazi scientist, dude. It's crazy. It's crazy they put this in this game, but it's there.
He's the one that always says, I have fury.
Yeah, I have fury. That's right. That's so I have good. Fury.
Yeah, he's memorable. I like him.
Sorry, yeah, and so you use, essentially, he uses like a machine to harness Peach's voice, and then they go over to the Bean Kingdom to steal this wishing star, because like it's always just like, it's like the Triforce or like the Eld Star, or like it's all the same shit, right? They just grant wishes.
Yeah,
like at the end of the day, that's all it is. And so they're trying to steal the Bean Star, but the Bean Star doesn't give wishes unless the voice is nice.
Oh, I don't remember that. That's funny.
Yeah, and it's funny. It's very, very silly, but that is what it is. But then there's also like this, the Bean Prince, who comes in and he swoops his hair every time he comes in, and he's always like, I'm going to help out, and he never does anything.
Yeah, that's right. Fuck yeah. Oh, God.
I think that's sort of a joke, is that like he's so full of shit that like every time he shows up to do something, he's like, oh, alas, it's already done.
That's one of the calling cards of these games, and not just this, but like all of the Mario RPG games, is like the clever, like the subtle little jokes and the sense of humor they put in them are always fucking spot on, like always.
And the recurring characters who have the same jokes, but they're always funny anyways.
Yeah, fuck yeah. And that's, dude, yes. Because like I say, they totally could have just cheaped out and gone like, go fight Bowser, that's it. And instead they put all this new shit in, and that's so good. Yeah. Like, fuck yes. God, I love these
And then
games.
Like, eventually you do end up fighting Bowser in a way, because Bowser, at the beginning of the game, like your plane crashes over the border between Mushroom Kingdom and Bean Bean Kingdom, and he gets launched out of a cannon, and he gets amnesia, and so he teams up with like this thief, and you fight him a whole bunch of times, but he's shitty because he doesn't remember how to do all his stuff.
Right.
That's awesome.
I love that they make Bowser so stupid in these games too.
Like, it's perfect.
Yeah. They're like cartoons. Like, they play like a cartoon. Like, if they had made like a cartoon series or an anime or something out of this, it would have been very entertaining. But instead, they made an RPG out of it.
I think so.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. And now I looked it up this week because I had never played any of these Mario and Luigi games through to the end.
Okay.
I have a few of them, but I've never beat them until this week when I beat this one. But there's five of these things, man. There's a ton of these games, and I've heard they're all pretty much the same, like, as far as humor goes.
So like, because the only ones that I've played this one, and then I played Bowser's Inside Story,
which I was super excited about because Bowser's my favorite character. And so I was like, oh, well, if it's about Bowser, that sounds fucking awesome. I found it a little boring. Still funny. Like, the humor is there. But yeah. the mechanic, like, I found the game, like, by the end of it, I was like, fuck, let's just get this over with. You know what I mean? And I don't remember thinking that about the first one of these. But,
well, I
mean,
and I think...
Go ahead.
I think with me, like, the whole thing is, like, I've always known these games exist and existed, and I knew what they were. But in my mind, I was always like, I don't want to play that because it's not Paper Mario.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
And at the end of the day, it isn't. It's not as good as Paper Mario or A Thousand Year Door, but it's still like a completely wholly unique RPG experience starring Mario and Luigi, because this game's interesting too, because there's no main character. It's not like Mario, you know?
No,
like Paper Mario, it's Mario.
And that's one of the things I really like about it, because like I've always felt bad for Luigi. Like, and like my biggest, probably my only gripe with Super Mario RPG in particular is that Luigi is nowhere to be found. And I'm like, how the fuck, like, I get that you have to build, like, a party of, like, it's awesome being able to play as Princess and Bowser and these new characters and stuff, but I was like, how the fuck is Luigi not in this? Like, how did you not make Luigi one of the characters? And like you said, and I meant to bring that up, not only is Luigi one of the playable characters in this game, but, like, he's an equal. And it's like, why the fuck don't you do that more? Like, just, everyone likes Luigi. If you don't like Luigi, there's something wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with him.
Yeah, I was thinking about something when I was playing this game, because I remembered something that I did in high school that I just cannot believe I did now. And that is, when I was in high school, I wrote like this incredibly thorough, intensely researched 20-page dissertation on Luigi, and I handed it in and I got like a B+ on it or something, but it only just occurred to me that a professor, an actual professor, had to read that. Like, they were obligated to read that 20-page dissertation on Luigi and like why he wasn't in Mario 64. Like, that was mostly what it was about.
Well, but he has to, like, everyone has at least played some kind of Mario game. Everybody knows Luigi is just player two. So maybe he could get behind it and be like, you know what? Yeah, what the fuck? How come no one ever can? And then, like, when he does get a game, it's Mario's Missing, which I'm not going back down the Mario's Missing fucking rabbit hole. But when he finally does get a chance...
I like Mario's Missing.
Fuck you, Bradley.
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, I was like, it's like you're, I was going to hang up the phone right now. But then, yeah, Luigi always gets stuck in these shitty games. And then, like, the Luigi's Mansion games are fine. But in this one, like, they got equal billing. It, like, even put both... It's not even the Mario Brothers Superstar Sega. It's Mario and Luigi, and they're both on the cover right there, front and center. They both have their own mechanics. Like, they did... I really like that. I wish they would do stuff like that more often. Like, Luigi's moment.
Well, and the thing is that each character has their, like, classic traits, too. Like, anytime, like, something remotely scary happens, Luigi gets, you know, freaked out, right? Because he's scared of ghosts and, you know... but there's also, like, a funny recurring bit in this where every time the two of you interact with someone, they're like, oh my goodness, it's the famous Super Mario, and you must be the president of his fan club, or who are you?
Fuck, I forgot about that. Yes.
Yeah, and it's really fun. The combat in this game is what makes it.
Oh, 100%.
The combat in this game is phenomenal.
Yeah, a trillion percent. I agree with that.
Well, and even like with the more monotonous fights, it doesn't take very long to get through a fight if you know what you're doing. Like, if you know, like, oh, this, like, as soon as you find out, like, oh, this enemy is bad against lightning attacks, just use lightning every time. Perfect. As soon as you get that, like, it's like clockwork. It reminds me a lot of, this is going to sound weird, but it reminds me a lot of, like, the Persona games, where it's like, once you know somebody's weakness, you can just power through a battle in, like, 10 seconds.
Yeah, absolutely. And it never get, like, it's so satisfying, right? Like, it's so, like, I, like, it's the same as, like, when you play a Pokemon game and you know that, like, oh, I'm fighting Squirtle, so if I use an electric attack, I'm going to destroy it. Like, that is, anytime you use someone's weakness against them, it is so satisfying. And in this game, like you said, not only do you have to use their weakness, but then you get to, like, it almost feels like you're the one doing the attack because of the timed attacks and stuff like that. And it's it feels so good. And, like, again, the paper, I hate to keep going back to Mario RPGs and the Paper Marios, but that's really what this is. It's like the junior portable version.
It's made from the skeleton of those games for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, the combat is rad, and like the animation, like, I'm just looking at some stills of it right now. Like, the animation of them and stuff like that is also, like, it never looks boring. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, oh yeah. This is a like an incredibly colorful game to the point where I'm like, I can't even believe they fit this many colors into the Game Boy Advance.
Yeah, 100%. Fuck yeah.
Like, it is, it's sort of like a silly game to look at. Like, I don't know how, like, it almost looks like a WarioWare game, like with its visuals, because it's so janky and weird looking.
Yeah.
It's fun. As odd as, or like even like a Wario Land game. I would love a Mario and Luigi game that also had Wario and Waluigi.
I was just thinking that. Like, I want a four player, like not a four player, but like an RPG game where maybe you have a team of the four of them. Like, where they have to team up to do something. That would be so rad.
Well, in the second game, there is four party members because you have Mario, Luigi, and then Baby Mario and Baby Luigi.
Oh, fuck off. God,
so
I hate
that. Yeah. Yeah, I've played that one a little bit, and I don't recall liking it that much. But the thing is like, we know that they know how to get like four characters into this. Can you imagine a new Mario and Luigi game on Switch? Like, now's the time.
Yeah, well, okay, like, as I've been thinking about that, but like, because there's all these rumors going around that we're going to get a new Paper Mario game, and it's like, if I have to choose between a new Paper Mario and a new Mario and Luigi, like, of course, we're going to go Paper Mario. Like, no question.
Paper
right?
Mario all the way.
Yeah, of course. But, like, I would love one of these on the Switch. The problem, I think, and this was, like, I don't want to, I mean, maybe we're going into the bad stuff. I do remember, and I found this with all these, like, these games are easy.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Podcasting's a weird job, because I talk to you nerds all the time. Every day, I tell you all about my life, the good and the bad. The ugly, I kind of keep that offline. And it's not that I don't want to talk about it. I'd love to talk about it. I just need to pick and choose who I talk to. We all have stuff that just lives in our minds, rent-free, 24/7. Talking about them can really help, because the longer you keep something bottled up, the more likely it is to blow. You've heard me say it before, and you're going to keep hearing me say it. Therapy is the way. Therapists can be that ear to bend when you really need to get something off your chest and don't know who to talk to. And BetterHelp is a great way to go about it. I don't BS you guys. I don't say I've used something if I've never used it. I've personally talked to a BetterHelp therapist about the stuff going on in my personal life, and I genuinely found it helpful. To have someone to talk to that doesn't have any skin in the game, that can just listen and try to help me come up with a roadmap to get through the tough times, it's just invaluable. It has seriously really helped me. I've talked to my therapist through video, and you can do it that way, or you can do it over the phone, or even just over chat. And they give you as many schedule options as possible so you can work a session in around your life. It's licensed therapy, as convenient as it gets. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/rememberthegame today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/rememberthegame.
Like,
yeah, that was gonna be my first quarrel with the game.
Yeah,
is that this game's really easy, my guy. Especially if you've played RPGs before.
Yeah.
That being said, I also understand that the target market here was first time RPG players.
Yeah,
like
it
kids,
is. Yeah, and like, and know? that's where it, like, it's the same as like I shit on the Yoshi games, because Yoshi, fuck Yoshi. But, like, they are so easy, right? And it's like, but that's kind of the demographic that they're aiming for. And it's, you're right. This is like my first RPG. Like, it's like my first that. It's my first RPG game. And I feel like the charm and the battle mechanics and the characters and the story kind of, like, make up for it. Like, they kind of balance it out. Do you know what I mean? Where you're like, I'll play through this easy thing because it's not boring. At least it's entertaining to see what happens next.
Yeah, it's easy, but it's never boring.
No, but I do wish that it had like a hard mode or something. And that's where like I wonder if like a game like this on the Switch, like I wonder if they're worried that if they put something like this on the Switch, people would buy it and then be like, this is too easy. Whereas like I do think, I mean it's impossible to know the exact numbers, but I have to assume at least 50% of the demographic of the portable Game Boy Advance market was children. Just like it was with the 3DS and all that stuff, right? So that's where this makes sense. Like, we have the Paper Mario games. If you're not that the Paper Mario games are the most challenging games in the world either, but if you want a little bit more,
no, they're not too. But even like Thousand Year Door has moments.
Absolutely, it does.
While I think that this game is sort of set up as like a like your first RPG, I don't think that it teaches you a lot of skills that you would need to know to play an RPG. If that makes sense.
Yeah, you're right. Like, if you played this and then hopped into Final Fantasy VI, you'd have no idea.
You'd be kind of pissed off, I think. You'd be like, well, I wasn't prepared for this at all.
Yeah, how come
I, like... Whereas, like, one that I think is almost a better example of that is just the straight-up first Pokemon game, because, like, yes, that is baby's first RPG, and it's a pretty easy game, but there are points where you have to really think out statistics and all the elements around you, and you may have to do some grinding.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, Pokemon might be a better example. This one's just... Dude, this is such a... Like, the Mario and Luigi games are such a niche title, because they're just... They're these charming, funny, little action kind of oriented RPGs, but they're easy, and they're not like it. Yeah, like who, like...
It's a good time game for sure. That's what I call it. It's just a good time game. I don't want to stress about nothing. I just want to play a good time game.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I think if they released a full price, like $60-$80 Mario and Luigi on the Switch game now, I don't know how well it would go. Like, I think it almost would have to be like a, I don't know, like maybe like an indie game. You know what I mean? Like maybe like a $20-$30.
Like almost like with like Golf Story type aesthetic, yeah. Or you know, like something that like a small team could make, like at Nintendo, that like of like 10 people who aren't doing shit,
like a Toad's Treasure Tracker style, like with that kind of price point and stuff, like, not, you know what I mean? Because like if I paid $80 for one of these games and then beat it in 10 or 15 hours and didn't have a single moment where I was even close to dying or anything, I'd be like, that was entertaining, but it was also $80.
So do you want to take a wild stab? I actually wrote down, because I noted real early how easy the game is. I actually wrote down how many times I gamed over playing Mario & Luigi Superstar Saga this week. Do you want to venture a guess?
Zero.
Exactly zero. That's correct.
Yeah, I believe that. Well, because 1-Up Mushrooms are so easy to get your hands on too. Not that you need that often. But...
And every boss fight has like... Ultra Shrooms before it, and a save point, and like maple syrup and stuff, and even like I never healed before bosses playing in this game, because I just never felt the need, and I never died.
Yeah, like I'm very surprised it didn't have. I mean, I guess if you wanted to, like, I mean, I guess if you wanted to artificially put in a hard mode, you could do stuff like don't use the timed hits or something like that. I guess, because you do like minimal damage if you don't hit the timed things, right?
Yeah, it's like people who are like, I don't use rare candies in Pokemon. I'm like, nah, but they're giving them to you, so why not?
Yeah, and if you don't use the timed hits in this game, then I don't think this game would be fun. Then it would just become a very boring baby's first slog tap A once RPG, right? Like that.
Yeah,
and like the fun is the timed attacks and stuff, because they never get old. Like, they're always satisfying. So
especially because like when you hit an enemy in this game, it makes like a sound, and there's like a little colored explosion. Like if you're Mario, when you hit it, it'll go boop, boop, and then like there'll be like a red explosion behind the enemy, and you're like, I did that.
Right.
Well, I did that.
Another thing that this game has going for it, this is one of my favorite things about like the Paper Marios and stuff, is like the overworld has hints of a Metroidvania to it. You know where it's
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, more Metroid than Vania, because there's not really any action. But, like, you start picking up moves, and then you can go back to places and be like, well, now I know how to get in there, because I can... Like, wasn't there stuff like you could squash Mario, and then he'd sneak under shit, and, like, stuff like that?
Yeah. You could hit Luigi with a hammer, and he could sneak under gates and stuff.
Yeah.
But you would see those gates, and you'd be like, I wonder what that's about.
Yeah. And then as soon as you find that mechanic, you know, you're like, oh, I got to go back now, because I can get, like, that is one of the most satisfying things in video games to me, is when I see something and I'm like, I know at some point I'm going to be able to fucking get there. And then as soon as I get the ability to get there, I forget the story altogether. I'm like, I got to go back to that thing. And it's probably not even anything I had to get. It's just the concept of it. And you know what I mean? I fucking love that mechanic.
Yeah, and I love a lot of the boss fights in this game too, despite the fact that I would say all of them are too easy. With the exception of maybe the final fight with Fawful, which I almost lost, but still didn't quite. But like, there's so many cool boss fights in this game. Like, there's the one where there's like the dragon that's like hatching out of an egg. That you have to fight. Yeah, it's like on top of a mountain. It's like near the beginning of the game. There's like a dragon that's hatching out of an egg. There's a really cool boss fight against like a giant piranha plant. But he spawns. It's cool because he spawns like different piranha plants, like different colored piranha plants. There's a red one and the blue one. And the blue one you have to use fire against, or else it'll just keep respawning. And the red one you have to use electricity against, or else it'll just keep respawning.
Oh, see, that's clever. I like that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, you know. And there's a lot of really great boss fights in this game. But what's weird about this game is that, unlike like Mario RPG and like Paper Mario, there isn't a lot of structure to this game.
Right.
It's mostly just like it almost is more like a Final Fantasy where you just do something because it's the objective, and then they're like, oh, now you go back and you're like, all right, we did it, we're done. And they're like, well, actually, there's another thing for you to do.
Right.
Here it is. And then eventually they get to, like, it felt like about 10 or 12 hours into this game, they're like, holy fuck, this game has no direction. So what if we have the wish star break into four pieces and then they fall throughout the land? You have to go and find them.
You know what? I wonder how often that happens. That, like, they like, you know, I don't know anything about game development, but they get like 2/3, 3/4 of the way through, and then they have people starting to play test it and stuff like that. And they're like, yeah, we gotta, like, it's very flat, or it's very just from left to, you know what I mean? And then they figure out they have to, like, I wonder if that stuff was there right from the get-go, or if they realized afterwards, yeah, we fucking have to put something else in here.
Yeah, there's got to be a like a fetch quest or a MacGuffin here at some point.
But,
you know,
I mean, for the most
part. And so, yeah, so you go around and you collect the four pieces. But the thing is like, as soon as they break apart and then the four pieces have scattered, you're like, okay, we've got some structure now. But it's so late in the game that they're like, make them easy to get. Just make them like 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes each. Just make them easy.
Yeah.
You know, and so they're really easy to get. There's one thing about this game that I want to talk about, that, because like I love this game so much now. Like, this is now going to be one of my favorites because I never finished it as a kid, and I don't remember playing it despite my giant playtime. and so this is truly like one of my new favorite games. I do think it's too easy, but there is a big, big problem I have with this game, is that to switch up the gameplay between like the puzzle solving and the action sequences, and like the fights and the boss fights and yada yada, they do this thing that I don't like.
What's that?
And that is, they put in these little mini games here and there. And I would say some of them are fun, but most of them are not.
And they're not voluntary.
No, you have to do them. Like, there's one, like, when you're going across the border, there's one where you're like, you have to play skip rope with the border crossing guys.
Right. I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, okay, that one is okay, but there's a few, there's a few that just got me the wrong way. There's one that also that I really like, where all these like shamans are like shooting at you, and you have to like, you and Luigi are holding a board, and you have to position them so that you hit the board, like their projectiles hit the board and spit back at them.
Right.
And that one's okay. But there's a couple that I really hate.
Yeah, those definitely. Yeah, like that seems like that should have been. Those should be like. I mean, like I'm just the first game that pops in my mind that I could use as an example is Final Fantasy VII, the Golden Saucer. Where like some of those games are really fun and some of them suck ass, but you can totally choose. You don't have to play any of them. And it's like, why
don't you have to do the chocobo racing?
Oh, I think you have to do it like once. Yeah, maybe. But I don't think you have to play like all of them. There's like the boxing ones and shit like that. And you can kind of, you know what I mean? Like, and yeah, like it's like, I'm here to play an RPG. I'm not here to play these fucking weird little WarioWare puzzle games. Like you said.
WarioWare is exactly right. Cause that is what it feels like.
Yeah. What the fuck?
There's two in particular that I fucking hate, and I'm gonna go over them. There's one where you're playing as only a Luigi, and you're using your hammer as a baseball bat to hit these blue things into these 8 different statues. However, the blue things turn back and forth between blue and red, and if you hit a red one, you got to start all over again. And that one's annoying, but there's one. Oh my God, there's one that I just loathe more than I've loathed anything ever. And it's this fucking one where you're like, you're on a pirate ship and they're like, you have to prove yourself worthy of being part of our crew. And to do this, you have to play this stupid fucking mini game where you have like rows of 5x5 barrels and you have to line them up in a row, and it sounds fun, but you have to get 30 in like a minute and a half, and it's awful, dude. It sucks.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, and there's like a skeleton Donkey Kong who's like, come on, guys, you gotta got to do better than that.
But, like, does it suck because it's hard, or does it suck because it's boring, or both?
It sucks because it's both. And it's like, to a point where sometimes you just get lucky. Like, that's what ended up happening to me, is I just got lucky and got, like, a good set of barrels that I could line up easily.
Right.
You know, and, like,
maybe that was just, your 72 hours, was you couldn't get past that, and finally you just gave up.
Yeah, there's also one that I like medium, I would say. I don't love, I don't hate. Or, like, you have Luigi and Mario over here, and there's, like, different blocks that are coming at different speeds above your head, and one says M and one says L, and you have to hit 30 of them. It's, that one's hard to explain, yeah. But it's not that fun.
Yeah, okay. I remember that one, actually. You know what? It's, like, I rant about this on the Spyro the Dragon episode, because I don't know what order these are going up in. Like, I hate it when developers try to shoehorn a different genre into the game just to try to change it up. Like, when I'm playing a platforming game, I don't need levels where I'm driving a vehicle or flying or something like the flying levels in Spyro. The fucking
I'm
rage,
looking at you, Banjo-Kazooie fucking, 3.
Oh, I never played that fucking title. I've never heard anyone say anything good about that fucking game.
The worst.
But it's like in all these games, like Super Mario Land, you have to, the original Super Mario Land on the Game Boy, there's a couple levels where you're in like a shooting ship. And it's not even that they're not fun, because they are kind of fun. But it's like, I didn't sign up to play those games. Like, I want to play, like in this case, I want to play an RPG. You know what I mean? I don't want to play a fucking WarioWare mini, like I hate that. I fucking hate that.
Yeah.
Like, why shoehorn this stuff in when you're not playing?
And it's super shoehorned. That's the problem. It's right. Super shoehorned.
And it's like, you're not like, just like, that's not what we paid for. It's not on the box. It's not, no one's buying the game to play that part, because we don't even know that part fucking exists. I don't know.
It's not the draw.
No. And it's like, and you didn't put any time into developing it. Most mini games and RPGs are shitty little things that they just threw in last minute to kind of, you know, here's something extra that you could do. And they're not, they don't have the time put into them. They're not fun. And like, yeah, I fucking hate that in fucking games. Why put that shit in?
And I think there's a way to do this right. You know, like for instance, like if I'm thinking about an example of this that I like, it's like the river level in Super Mario RPG where you're jumping around in the river. But that actually feels like you're doing something, like you're actually progressing the story. Whereas yeah. This is just like, they stop the game, they're like, play this Mario Party minigame, and if you don't win, you're just gonna do it over and over again. It's like, I don't care about that.
Like when you do, I mean, because again, God, I love Super Mario RPG. When you're doing the barrel jumping in Super Mario RPG, it doesn't really matter how good or bad you do, you can't lose. It's just a matter of how many coins did you get, and then when it's over, if you want to go back and try to get the rest of the coins, you can. Whereas, yeah, like in some of these, it's like, oh, you didn't make it, you better start over. And it's like, I'm not even trying to play this. Like, what if I really suck at platforming games and action games, and I just want to play a turn-based RPG, which is what your goddamn box offered me, and then it didn't turn out. Oh, yes, now I get it.
This is what I was promised.
Motherfuckers. This game gets a zero. It's fucking a fail. Fuck it.
That is a big part of this game that I don't like. And I think that could have been done better. But I think there's so much to love here. Like, there truly is. I'll tell you a true story. So I've been like spreading out my days very meticulously. And I'm like, this is how my days go now. It's like, when I wake up, I play Animal Crossing till noon. And then I play whatever game I'm working on until 5, dinner, movie. Then after that, Animal Crossing till 10. And then at 10 p.m., I play Animal Crossing because at 10 p.m. the store closes. At 10 p.m., I start to play whatever other game I'm working on. And I was playing, I started playing this at 10 p.m. and I was like, you know what? Tonight's the night. I'm going to finish this thing. And I was like, not that far in the game.
Yeah.
I was like, tonight's the night. I'm going to finish it. I bet you I'll be done by like 2, maybe 3. I assumed it wasn't going to be that long. And then it ended up being like, it's a short game, but it ended up being a little longer than I had expected. And so I'm sitting there, I beat the final boss, and I haven't looked at the clock in hours, straight up hours. And I look at the clock, I'm like, holy shit, it is 6 in the morning. And it has been a very long time since I was so in love with the game that I played it till 6 in the morning.
That's like the highest, to me, that's the highest praise you can give a video game. Is you don't even, like, you're not paying attention to the time, you're just having fun, you're in the zone. And then all of a sudden you're like, holy fuck, it's 3 a.m. or 6 a.m. or whatever, yeah. Which is like, to me, like if I created a video game and someone told me that's how they felt about it, to me, that's as cool of thing as I could hear from a gamer.
And it's the best time to game right now, because like I'm working from home right now. So like I don't get like during that time between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m., I'm not getting calls from my family. I'm not getting calls from my girlfriend, and I'm not getting calls from work, and not to disparage any of those things. I like getting all those things, but I'm just completely zoned in.
Yeah, totally.
On a video game. I'm not thinking about anything else. I'm just completely zoned in on this video game.
That's awesome. Yeah. I want to play this. Like I'm telling you right now, I bring it up just about every time this system comes up. Like Game Boy Advance games have to come to the Switch. I don't know how they're not.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
DS games I get in 3DS, maybe it's a little trickier because you don't have the dual screen and the touch screen, and certain games take advantage of it, certain games don't. But the Game Boy Advance is, they're just sitting there. They look good. They're meant to be played on a handheld. All you need is the two shoulders with the A and B button. I would love to have this game on the, like, I would be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if we got Game Boy Advance games over Nintendo 64 games for online.
That's what I think is going to happen. Like, that's, I think that there's going to be like a Game Boy Online, and it's going to have like Game Boy Color, and Game Boy Advance.
Yeah.
That's what I think is going to happen.
And this game would be such a phenomenal fit. Just put them all out. Like, you could release them all in one collection, I guess. But I would rather have them that way, because this is the only one I really want to play again.
I think that, like, as far as, like, getting Nintendo 64 games on the Switch, it's almost too complicated. Because you have, like, the weird shape controller. You have, like, the C button. And that being said, though, is if they release it, and they would probably release N64 with, like, what, 10 games maybe to start?
Probably, yeah, something like that.
If one of those games was Smash and one of those games was Mario Party, and they were like, hey, we're offering that same thing where you can get a wireless N64 controller, you bet your ass I'm going to buy that.
Yeah, fuck, I hate that controller. I would probably buy one too, but I fucking hate that goddamn thing.
I would buy it because, like, it would be a cheaper alternative to get multiple controllers for my system so I could play Mario Party with my friend.
Yeah, I agree with that. All I want is Mario Kart. That's my, just me Mario Kart 64 with online. And I'll give you, like, I'll buy another year of Nintendo Online just to play Mario Kart 64 online. That's good enough. Anyway, we could go down that wormhole forever. I'm good. I feel satisfied. How you feel?
Yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy with that. I this was a game I'd never played before, and thanks to this podcast, I had a reason to play it. And I think that it's too easy. I definitely think it's too easy, and there's definitely some filler content in there. But for a Game Boy Advance game, like, this game still took me 16 hours to beat.
Right.
For a Game Boy Advance game, like, it's a pretty big feat, I would say.
Yeah, I agree with that. And like, and you got to remember too, like, this is, and I think this gets forgotten, like, this is the one that launched the Mario and Luigi series. Like, this was their first attempt at this. Like, obviously they had done Super Mario RPG and Paper Mario stuff, but this was their first attempt at like a handheld new kind of series of RPG games, and they've spawned, I think, 5 now. And honestly, it's a mixed reviews, but this one is the one that everyone is like, no, this game is the fucking tits. Like, I'm looking at the scores right now online from different people, and it's like 85, 90 and up from everybody. Like, it's a really good, charming, funny game. It just is. God, I hope we get it on Switch soon.
Yeah, me too. I know that they just remade it for the 3DS, so I almost wonder, like, if they should just port that version.
Yeah, yeah.
That they remade. I've heard the remake's pretty decent.
There have to be some 3DS. Like, I know not everything from the 3DS could transfer onto the Switch, but the fact that there's a 2DS which doesn't go 3D, like, as long as it doesn't need the dual screen, I don't see no reason why it couldn't run on the Nintendo Switch. I see no reason.
Yeah. Well, and like bringing 3DS games over is pretty easy. You just use hub menus, right? Like, it's not that crazy.
Okay, I'm trying to figure out how to score this thing because there's only two fucking Okay, you know what? It's been out for 17 years, so we'll go that way. On a scale, that's how I'm mailing it in on my quarantine run here. On a scale of 1 to 17, how would you score Mario and Luigi Superstar Sega or Saga? How do you say it? I say Saga.
I don't know. I think the jury's out on how that word is said. I think it's Sega. I think it's Saga.
Yeah, Saga. Yeah, it's the Nintendo Saga. Car hole. I'll go Saga. What would you give it out of 17, Bradley?
Out of 17, I'm gonna knock off some points for the difficulty and the terrible fucking WarioWare garbage. I'm gonna give it 13 out of 17.
All right, I'll go 14 because I haven't played it in almost 14 years. But I still know that I love it. And that, like, again, I said that right off the hat. That's a good way to close this to me. That is, like, the highest praise you can give a game is you've played it once, you haven't played it forever, but you know that you love it. Like, it was just, like, you just left a good taste in your mouth. So, dude, thanks for doing this. Go play some more video games, because there literally is nothing else to do right now.
I am going to do only that.
Awesome. Thanks, buddy.
No problem. Thanks, Adam.
That's going to do it for this week's episode. Bradley, thank you so much for downloading, playing, and then calling to talk to me about Mario & Luigi Superstar Saga. And to every single one of you that are letting us blab into your ears every week, thank you so much for listening to the show. There is a very good chance that by the time I post episode 96, we have cracked 50,000 downloads. We're right on the cusp. Originally, my goal was to hit 20,000 by episode 100. Then it became 40. We're going to hit over 50, which is fucking rad. You guys are all the best. Thank you so much for listening and spreading the word of the show and telling your friends and following us on social media. And obviously, if you can, support us on Patreon. It's only $2. We're giving away games every month. You get extra episodes of the show every Sunday. You get to vote for games we cover. You guys know I did the whole blurb at the top. Patreon.com/rememberthegame. $2, which is nothing. And that's going to do it, you guys. I'll be back on Sunday with the next episode of Expansion Pass, ranking my top 10 favorite consoles of all time. And I will be back next week with episode 96 of Remember the Game as we climb onward and upward toward episode 100. Thank you for listening. Stay safe. Wash your hands and your controllers. Look out for giant hornets. And I'll talk to you again in a few days. Take it easy. Cheers.